This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, the Almighty, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I remind myself, I advise myself, and then all of you all present here, to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to be conscious of your maker during every single second of your lives. If you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. We live in very trying times indeed. If you look at the Muslim ummah, be it locally or globally, we are most definitely living in the ends of times. We're headed towards the latter stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the day of Qiyamah, 1400 odd years ago, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the pagans went to him and demanded a miracle, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the will and the command of Allah, he split the moon into two. By the will and the command of Allah, He splits the moon into two, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر. The hour has drawn near, the final hour, i.e. doomsday. The day of Qiyamah has drawn near, and the moon has been cleft asunder. The moon has been split into two. So subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal declares that the hour has drawn near 1400 odd years ago. So definitely, we are living in a time wherever we look, we see the Muslims being persecuted. We see Muslims being tormented. We see oppression. We see that there is no justice. Subhanallah. So at such times, what do you think is most important for us as Muslims? I would say that love is important. Love. I'm going to be focusing on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has been recorded in the book of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. None of you have truly believed. None of you have truly brought in iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى, until يحب لأخيه, until you love for your brother, until you love for your sister, ما يحب لنفسه, what you love for yourselves. Subhanallah. Interestingly, the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commences just as how we have it in our kalima. What is our kalima? What is our declaration? What is our profession? We say لا إله إلا الله. We say that there is no deity. La ilaha. There is no deity. There is no God. There is none worthy of worship illallah, except Allah. This is what we say. Likewise, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts off, لا يؤمن لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you have truly brought in iman. None of you have truly believed. Iman has not penetrated into your heart. حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Until you love for your brother what you love for yourselves. Subhanallah. You see, iman has signs. In the sense, the manifestation of iman has signs. Just as how everything has signs. If one were to say that I love Allah, if one were to say that I love Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi, then that love has to manifest. As Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, tell the Sahaba, tell your ummah, say, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, if you all love Allah, prove that love by فَاتَّبِعُونِي, by following me. You prove the love that you have for Allah by following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, if you love Allah, that love will manifest in you following the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in you following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla declares the purpose behind the creation of mankind. Allah says, "Wama khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa illa liya'budun." An ayah that we come across often. "Wama khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa illa liya'budun." I have not created jinn kind or mankind except that they do what? Ya'budun. Except that they worship. So the sole purpose behind our creation is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place Allah Azza wa Jal, he states, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, U'budu rabbakum walladhi khalakakum, U'budu rabbakum walladhi khalakakum walladhina min qablikum. Worship your Lord, the one who created you all, as well as the ones before you all. For what purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you bring in taqwa. So that you become from the people of taqwa. So taqwa is the ultimate objective. Ibadah is the objective. And the ultimate objective is taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is a combination where you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise you fear Allah azza wa jal. This consciousness of Allah azza wa jal is the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love that you have for your maker. Just as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is reported to have said in regards to the tafsir of this particular ayah, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He says, يَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ يَعْرِفُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created jinn kind or mankind except that they get to know Allah. The ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognizing of Allah azza wa jal. This is ibadah. Knowing who your maker is, knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The more you come to know of Allah, the more love permeates into your heart. What love? The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you love Allah azza wa jal, you start following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more you love Allah, the more your heart is filled with iman. And when your heart is filled with iman, you start loving your brethren around you, subhanallah. You rid yourselves of all the negative qualities that the hearts of human beings are generally riddled with. That is why when an individual becomes closer to Allah, when an individual starts worshipping Allah, the whole point of ibadah is to purify your heart, is to strengthen your relationship with Allah, is to get closer unto your maker. There's a beautiful narration. If I'm not mistaken, it is in the Musnad. It is in the collection of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. There was once a person from the Ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were seated. The incident goes along the lines of these words. They spot an individual entering the masjid. This man comes in and his beard, if you will, or his hair looks disheveled. Why? Because he's just after ablution. When you make ablution, your beard gets disheveled, your hair gets disheveled, and he's got water drops dripping from his beard. Look at how descriptive the narration is. He's got his slippers tucked under his arm and he's entering the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at this individual and declares him to be a person from the people of Jannah. Subhanallah. Look at that. The Prophet, I want you all to relate to the words. Think about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at a person and saying, this man is going to Jannah. And this happens multiple times until finally a companion who was in the congregation, in the jama'ah, if I'm not mistaken, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, he decides to go behind this individual and observe him carefully. He has been declared as someone from the people of Jannah, subhanallah, min ahlil Jannah. He's from the people of Jannah. So he wants to go behind him and observe his actions carefully. What is he doing? What special ibadah is he involved in perhaps, so that I can get involved in it as well and secure Jannah? So he goes behind him, curious. He goes behind him in an inquisitive way. And you know what he decides? I really need to go and spend some time with this individual. He goes to the house of this individual. He requests for permission to stay by that individual. And this was the habit of the Sahaba. Based on the words of the Prophet ﷺ, when someone comes to your house, you're supposed to entertain that individual. You're supposed to be a host unto that individual for 3 days. For 3 days. Where has hospitality gone today? Subhanallah. 3 days. The first day, you're supposed to give the guest the best treatment that you can give. The best treatment. How much you can afford, you need to give him the best treatment in terms of food, in terms of lodging. Maybe you have 3 rooms. You've got 1 room that has, you know, better facilities, better amenities. You need to allow the guest to stay in that room. For the remainder 2 days, you have to treat him according to how you conduct your life. So perhaps day one, you give him very good food. Day two and day three, not that you give him bad food. You give him the food that you would consume on a daily basis. So this individual agrees. This man says, I want to stay by you for some time. He agrees to host him for 3 days. Now for 3 days and 3 nights, this companion of the Prophet ﷺ observes this individual. The individual the Prophet ﷺ declared to be from the people of Jannah. He observes him carefully. He's thinking to himself, perhaps now I'm going to see this man fasting during the morning hours, and maybe he's going to be in salah during the entire night. I'm going to be seeing him reading the Quran excessively. I'm going to see him, you know, involving himself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal. Maybe he's a person giving out sadaqah left, right and center. Maybe there are people coming to his house and he's helping them out. Maybe he's involved in all of this. But subhanallah, he observes nothing out of the norm. The man, he goes to sleep on time. Before sleeping, he remembers Allah, he praises Allah, and he goes to sleep. He doesn't observe him being up the entire night in salah. He wakes up only for the morning prayer, for salatul tahajjud, for salatul fajr perhaps. And 3 days, 3 nights, he observes nothing out of the norm, nothing extraordinary. Usual ibadat, whatever is obligatory upon him, he is doing it, and perhaps a few optional deeds here and there, but nothing spectacular. So after the 3 days and 3 nights had passed, this Sahabi goes to this man and he informs him. He tells him, my brother, this is what happened. We were all seated with the Prophet ﷺ. One day you're making your way to the masjid. The Prophet looks at you and he declares you to be from the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us all from the people of Jannah. Ameen. And then he says, so I was curious to find out as to what special deed you were doing to achieve this high rank. I followed you, I stayed with you for 3 days and 3 nights, but I observed nothing out of the ordinary. Please tell me, what is it that you're doing to become from the people of Jannah? The man quietly tells him, well, you observed me carefully. This is exactly how I conduct my life. This is how I spend my time. But if you're asking for something that is out of the norm, something extra that I'm doing, there's one thing that I worked on and I continue to work on, and that is where I don't think bad of anyone, nor do I envy anyone for what they have. The companion looks at him and says, this is what you have that we don't have. What is it? Not to think bad of anyone. You don't entertain any negative thoughts about the other. nor do you entertain envy / jealousy in regards to the achievements of the others, the accomplishments of the others, the possessions of the others, nothing. If you can work on this, subhanAllah, your heart becomes so pure. It soars unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It soars unto Allah azza wa jalla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's report have said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's report have said, indeed, in the body of an individual there is a piece of flesh. فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى. There is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ. If that piece of flesh is upright, if that piece of flesh is good, if that piece of flesh is sound, the entire body is upright, the entire body is sound, goodness starts to come out from the body of that individual. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ. If that piece of flesh goes bad, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. The entire body becomes bad, the entire body becomes corrupt, the entire body becomes rotten. And what is this piece of flesh? أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. It is the heart. It is the heart. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, look at your heart. Your heart is where your iman stems from. Your belief in Allah. Your belief in Allah. Iman, it's in your heart. It stems from your heart. And now we were talking about love. What is love primarily connected to? Your heart. We were talking about having a pure heart, not thinking bad about others. SubhanAllah, it's all connected to your heart. And this is why in these times, especially when we are being persecuted, when we are being tormented, left, right and center, we as the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to stop fighting amidst ourselves. We need to stop harboring negative thoughts towards one another amidst ourselves. We need to unite as one heart. We need to unite as one body, as per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ummah is like one body. In your body, if a limb of yours is in pain, your entire body aches in response. You don't even have to have a limb in pain. Just say a tiny finger of yours is in pain. Let's say you jammed your finger in the dough, subhanAllah. May Allah save us all. Your entire body aches in response. Will you just ignore, oh, it's a little finger, nothing to worry about, and will you continue walking? You may be the strongest person in the world, but you will ache. It'll hurt. There'll be this reflex action. Your finger will start to swell, and you'll feel the pain throughout the body. Why? Because your body aches in response. Likewise, the ummah, as the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all need to be united. We need to be united. When we talk about love, we don't mean that we become like stepping rugs, like carpets. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. They loved Allah the most. And were they stepping rugs? Were they stepping rugs? Did they let anybody make mincemeat out of their rights? Did they let anybody step on them? Did they let anybody push them aside? SubhanAllah, no. Go through the golden pages of history, Islamic history, and you will see how the Muslims held their heads high. Because the Muslims strove for justice. The Muslims strove for goodness, not for evil. So we as believers, we need to work towards this. And it needs to start with our own selves. There's no point in blaming others. There's no point in pointing our fingers towards others. We need to start working on our own selves, our own hearts, our own actions, our own connections with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did I say at the beginning? The objective, in the sense, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that ibadah is ma'rifah, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know Allah, the love for Allah permeates in your heart. And when you love Allah, you don't want to disobey Allah. When you love Allah, dimensions are opened in your ibadat. We pray. We fast the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is just around the corner. We fast the month of Ramadan. We go on Umrah. We go on Hajj. We give out Zakah. We give out Sadaqah. But all of these deeds go into a completely different dimension when your heart is filled with love for Allah. then you will start savoring the sweetness of salah. You will start savoring the sweetness of the ibadat that you are involved in when you have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become conscious of every single action of yours. Every single second that you spend, you're going to be conscious. This second, did I spend it in the pleasure of Allah or in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This action of mine, did I spend it in the pleasure of Allah or the displeasure of Allah azza wa jal? This statement of mine, this thought of mine, you're going to be so accountable in regards to yourself when you're conscious of your maker. There's a story mentioned in the books of history. It is in regards to an individual by the name Ata. Some historians go with his surname as being a Salimi, and some go with his surname as being a Salami. Either way, Ata as-Salami. Now this individual, he was a merchant. He was a trader who was a weaver by profession. In the sense, he used to weave clothes. He used to make a small living out of it, and he used to live. So he was a merchant. He used to weave clothes. He used to weave the clothes with his own hands. He would go to the marketplace. He would sell them for a fair price, and he would live through this profession. So now one season was coming about, and he was preparing for the season. He spends a lot of time weaving his clothes, his stock of clothing. He weaves it with his own hands. He puts in a lot of hard work, and he takes his merchandise, he takes his products, and he goes to the marketplace now to sell the products. He has put all of his products on display, and there is a person who comes to buy, a customer comes to buy from him. This person comes and he starts looking at the clothing, he starts looking at the products on display. Now the merchant is describing the products. Ata is telling the man who has come to purchase, this dress is like this, this piece of clothing is like this, look at the thread work on this piece of clothing, look at the textiles, look at the material used in this particular clothing. And he's marketing his products. This customer observes the products, and after a while he says, I'm interested to buy, but it's just that I don't think that these products are worth the price that you're quoting. Why? Because see, and he starts to point out faults in the clothing. He says, look, the thread work here, this sleeve looks thick, but this sleeve is thin. The design, there's a thread hanging here, there's a thread hanging there. One sleeve is short, the collar is not aligned, or the design is not in alignment. He starts pointing out so many faults. And as he is doing this, Ata, who was listening to him, suddenly breaks down in tears. He starts to weep and he starts to cry in front of the man. He's crying, he's sobbing uncontrollably. And the man feels bad. The man says, Ya Ata, you know what? Stop crying. Please stop crying. I know that you have put in a lot of hard work. You know what? I'll buy all of it and I'll pay the price that you are quoting. Because he felt so bad. The man's crying. He's sobbing. The minute the man said this, Ata looks up to him with tears streaming down. And he says, I'm not crying because of the clothing. I'm not crying because of the hard work that I put in. I was just reflecting and thinking that I've been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years, for 60 years. And I'm thinking that my ibadat are all top tier, you know, high standard. But just as how my products, I was thinking that they're all top standard, when I brought it to the marketplace, you came and started to point out the faults. What about my ibadat? What about my prayers? What about my hajj? What about my umrah? I wonder how many faults will be pointed out to me on the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, there is no going back. You can't return. You will cry. We will all cry. Oh Allah, give us another chance. Let us go back so that we may do more good deeds, so that we may give out more charity, so that we may pray more, so that we may busy ourselves with preparing for the hereafter. We're not going to be thinking about others. See, on the day of Qiyamah, in this world, we think so much about others. We talk about others, we gossip about others, we backbite about others. But do you know, on the day of Qiyamah, you're not even going to look at the person next to you. We're all going to be naked, subhanAllah. We're all going to be stark naked on the day of Qiyamah. Aisha radiallahu anha was very concerned. She asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be naked? In the sense, our nakedness is going to be exposed. In this world, you're clothed so beautifully, subhanAllah. We wear the best of clothing that we have. On the day of Qiyamah, we are a gathering, a thousand, a million times bigger than this gathering. So many human beings, from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam until the last human being, and we are all going to be naked. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Aisha, on that day that will be the least of your concerns. Our nakedness being exposed will be the least of our concerns. Because Allah will be so angry that He would never ever have become angry like that, nor will He become angry like that. The day of Qiyamah, we're going to be kept to stand, and every single deed of yours will be taken into account. Every single statement of yours will be taken into account. The things that you did behind closed doors, the things that you did in foreign lands, the things that you may have thought, whatever will be brought out, and every single thing will be taken into account. Subhanallah. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this worldly life is short. If you are 30 years old now, just think to yourselves, how did those 30 years go past? If you are 40, think, how did those 40 years go? If you are 50, if you are 60, you're literally almost making your way towards the end of your time in this world. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that the lifespan of my ummah, of the people of my ummah, 60 to 70 years. And today, our generations are so weak, it's rare to see an individual cross 70, cross 80, with all the sicknesses, with all the modified food that we are consuming, we can't expect to live really long, subhanAllah. We're sick at a very young age, so many sicknesses, rampant all over the place. So don't you think that we need to reevaluate our priorities? Don't you think that we need to fixate our focus towards the hereafter? Don't you think that we need to cleanse our hearts? Don't you think that we need to purify our hearts? Don't you think that we need to enhance the quality of our ibadat, of our deeds? Because you may be thinking, I am praying, I am doing all of these good deeds, and I am going to see it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. But I think you all know about the hadith of the bankrupt person, about the muflis. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks his companions, do you all know who the muflis is? They define a muflis just as how we would define a bankrupt person. مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمْ وَلَا دِينَارَ لَهُ. An individual who has nothing. No money, no possessions, no assets, nothing. He's the bankrupt individual. According to our definitions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to give us a different definition. A definition connected to the hereafter. He will be the individual who will come with deeds. Mountains of deeds. All your ibadat, all your prayers, all your recitations of the Quran, all your sadaqat, your zakah, your umrah, your multiple hajj, everything. He will come with all of his deeds. And he will, in a way, feel confident because he's looking at the mountains of deeds behind him. And then suddenly, he will see a line of people lining up to meet him. Why? Is he a big VIP? No. They have all come to claim their rights. شَتَمَ هَذَا ضَرَبَ هَذَا. This man has oppressed so-and-so. This man has robbed from so-and-so. This man has wronged so-and-so. This man has spoke against so-and-so. This man has scolded so-and-so. This man has hit so-and-so. This man has hurt so-and-so. This man has backbitten about so-and-so. This man has spoken bad about so-and-so. This man has dishonored so-and-so. And all of them will line up. And this man will have to settle scores with all of them. Oh, I heard so and so. So what's the currency? Do you have money with you? You may be thinking, my net worth is worth billions today. You may be worth billions today. But on the day of Qiyamah, you're not going to have your billions with you. The only currency, your deeds. Your deeds. So you will start paying off with your good deeds. Now you have a mountain of good deeds, right? You can pay. He'll keep paying, 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 paying. The line is not becoming short. People keep coming. Why? Think about it. When you think bad about someone, do you even keep account of how many people you have backbitten about? You meet up somebody for a cup of coffee and we're talking bad about someone, subhanAllah. So-and-so is like this, so-and-so is that, so-and-so's marriage is like this, so-and-so is this, so-and-so is that. We start talking, subhanAllah. Think about how many people you've spoken about. Hukukul ibad. These are the rights of your brethren. So he will keep paying with his good deeds until he runs out of all of his good deeds, subhanAllah. And the line has still not ended. Now how is he to settle? It will be declared for the sins of those individuals to be transferred to this man's account. SubhanAllah. Do you really need this? Here we are on the day of Qiyamah, we're going to be crying out, Nafsi, Nafsi, Nafsi. And in this world too, we are focused on ourselves, our own good deeds. Do you think you have the capability to take on the burdens of others? To take on the sins of others? And on that day to settle the scores, that will be done. He'll have to take the sins of others, subhanAllah. He came with mountains of good deeds. Now he ends up with mountains of sins. He is al-muflis. He is the bankrupt person according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the takeaway lessons that we have to constantly take away from every experience, from everything that is happening around us, is that we need to work on ourselves. We need to improve our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. If you are preoccupied with your own faults, with your own mistakes, you know, deep down, if you look inside each and every one of us, we know of our own faults. We know of our own mistakes. We may portray one thing. We may look very righteous. We may look very pious. But deep down, we know of our mistakes. We know of our own hearts. If you preoccupy yourself with your own faults, you won't have time for the faults of others. Because you're busy with your own faults. And that individual is a fortunate individual. Why? Because he's worried about his own sins. He is humbled by his own sins. He is constantly seeking the forgiveness of Allah. He is constantly turning to Allah in tawbah. He does not wait for the month of Ramadan to turn to Allah in tawbah. Every moment he is turning to Allah in tawbah. He is seeking the forgiveness of Allah. He knows Allah to be al-ghafoor. He knows Allah to be al-raheem. He knows Allah to be al-rahman. So he's constantly knocking at the door of Ar-Rahman. He's constantly begging and pleading for the forgiveness of Allah. And do you think Ar-Rahman will let that individual be just like that? SubhanAllah, no. Most definitely Allah will forgive that individual. Most definitely he will start to soar and rise in ranks and become like the individual who entered the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared him to be from the people of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to purify our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us all from the people of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify the affairs of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal ease our affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us victorious in every turn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do that which will help us in this world as well as the hereafter in terms of achieving a good life. As per the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Amin wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Innal hamdalillah. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana Muhammadan 'abdullahi ta'ala wa rasuluhu. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmid din amma ba'd. Fa ya ayyuhan nas wahidullah fa inna at-tauhida ra'su at-ta'at. واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي للإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم بالبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي للمعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين ولا تحب الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين ألا وإن النفس لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب فتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين ودعوه فإن ربكم مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآي والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروا إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى واستمسكوا من الإسلام بالعروة الوثقى قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيد الأولين والآخرين ورحمة الله للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حيان عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم احفظ الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك وأصلح لنا شأننا كله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا صلى الله على النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة.